In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. It's so wonderful to have you all here with us tonight. Tonight, we're going to be discussing an amazing book. I'm going to hold it up here. We're Not Done Yet, Pop, which is My Lessons from the Other Side by Joe McQuillan. Perfect. And I have Joe McQuillan here with us. Joe, welcome to The Spark.
Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate having me on, having us on.
Yeah. And Joe, where are you?
I am just on the North Shore of Chicago, a place called Winnetka. It's about an hour from Lake Michigan, or a mile from Lake Michigan. So about 20 miles north of the city of Chicago.
All right. I love Chicago. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a fun town. Not this time of year. You're better off wherever you are this time of year, but normally it's an amazing place.
Yeah. I know it's cold out there now. So, Joe, my goodness, you know, you have had such an incredible experience. This is one of these experiences I feel like is every parent's nightmare. And, you know, if you can just start by sharing with the audience what you've been through.
Well, thanks. I will. And you know, in January of 2016, my son was 21, and I have three kids. Christopher's on the other side, and he was home from college for the Christmas break. And this was their last weekend before they were all going back to school. So they decided to a friend's lake house, parents' lake house, about an hour and a half north in a little town called Lake Beulah, Wisconsin, and decided to have the last weekend there and kick up their heels and raise a little hell and have some fun and go back to school. And so that day, it was a dozen of them, boys and gals, and they were at a little tavern, shooting pool, drinking, and went back to the house, and continued the party. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Christopher and three of his friends, did what 21-year-old boys do, and we just walked outside, saw a boathouse, and curiously, they jumped in a three-man canoe and with half-frozen lake and Timberland boots and layered clothing and a snoot full of demon rum, paddled out, and none of them made it back. I got a text. We were waiting. I grew up in Buffalo, as you can see, the Sabres jerseys behind me. And we were waiting for a Bills game, and he was supposed to come home that morning so we could watch the game before he went to school the next day. And I got a text around 11:30. It said, "Mr. McHugh, Christopher and three of his friends are missing." So I grabbed my Labrador, jumped in my Jeep, and headed up north. And then the guy's uncle called me and said it was no longer a search, but a recovery, that all four had drowned. I drove up, finished, went up there, and, to this day, it's indelibly printed in my mind. I walked in the front door and I could see the picture window out to the lake, and I saw the rescue boats and the lights and police. And, there were a group of kids huddled in a corner crying, group of parents huddled in another corner crying. And the reality kicked in, a little bit of shock, but, then it was the phone calls and calling his mom and godfather, aunt, who was his godmother, who's with him now on the other side. And they wouldn't let me identify the body. Wisconsin won't. You know, they identified a photo of him, which was, you know, he had his Celtic cross and his Buffalo Bisons, my Buffalo Bisons, minor league baseball jacket. And it was him, you know, but it wasn't. And I wasn't ready, Stephanie. I wasn't ready to accept the world without him. So, you know, at that point, I decided I was going to try to find if there was something else. How do I connect? How do I tap into it? And, you know, 15 years before, I had seen a medium kind of on a lark, and nobody in my family had died out of, one brother had taken his life in the 70s, but no, you know, my parents died normal, you know, chain of events, and siblings. I'm the youngest of 10 kids. So my older brothers and sisters, a few of them, in fact, all of them, but most of them have, the older ones have crossed over. I've still got, you know, three siblings on the side. And, but in that reading, the woman at the end of it said, your dad's here and he's holding a caboose and he's holding a railroad. And if you look back over my head, there's a railroad lantern on top of that dresser. And dad spent 40 years on the railroad. And all of us boys in college worked on the railroad. And my uncle and my grandfather, we were a railroad family. So when he said that, it was like, you know, the old man didn't give me any keys to the universe. You know, he didn't give me any lottery ticket numbers, but he let me know that he was there. You know, and so I walked in that house in Lake Beulah. I thought, if my dad, if Iron Joe is somewhere, Chris is with him, you know, I got to figure this out, you know. And at that point, you know, I'd spent 30 years in the car business. I was a car dealer. And so I'm far from a naive guy, you know. And I wanted to know if this was real and I can connect, I want to figure it out. And if it's not, let's check it off the list, you know. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, had a lot of things to do around burying my boy. You know, one interesting thing I will tell you is that every night that week, when you're arranging for funerals and masses and receptions and gravestones and plots and all those things you never do ahead of time, you know, for a kid. You know, I'd hit my knees at night and I'd thank God for my family. And I thank God I'm now sober 36 years. I was a pretty wild guy too. So I understood my boy. And I would thank him for my sobriety. But I'd say, you know, Dad, we're not good, you and me. You took my kid. Mm-hmm. And about the third night after my same litany, you know, I got a message back that said, I didn't take your son. His recklessness and free will caused him to come home early, and I welcomed him. And remember, I lost a son too. So at that point, I knew God wasn't some chess master moving us around or making me pay for past sins. That life happens is what happens, and free wills and exit points all cross into it. But that God was the guy holding me during those terrible days, you know? And that started my search.
Wow, Joe, that's just such a powerful story. And, you know, as a parent myself, I've had those moments where I've hit my knees as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's shown up. And so what happened from that point?
You know, the medium that I had talked about 15 years ago when my dad came through, and you got to understand, 3/4 of that reading was kind of mundane. I'm looking at my watch going, I got stuff to do. And then the old man came through and was like, huh. You know, so I kind of just took that and put it in a file that I drew on 16 years later. So, you know, I started researching. I started reading. I also reached out to that same medium who had relocated to Surprise, Arizona. Her name is Nancy Myers. She's a good gal. And in one reading, Chris kept coming through calling her Nancy. And I would hear her say to her, my name's Nancine, Chris. so typical Chris, you know. And so she described the events of his drowning. And she told me things that I didn't know until I read the police report, right? So it was pretty clear that this is real. And he was somewhere. And he talked about who had greeted him. He talked about what it was like to cross. You know, some pretty amazing information for a guy that didn't think too much of that or worry too much of that in the past, you know. And so I reached out to her, got a couple of great readings. But then, it was like the next level. I wanted to go to a medium who was looking in my son's face when he was talking to him. You know, I wanted to see the medium's face when he looked into my boy's eyes. So it turned out to be a monstrously coincidence, but one of the early books I read was Bob Olson's book, who was an investigator in LA and wanted to see where his dad went. And it was an amazing book. And I went to a website just to look up local mediums in the Chicago area. And I saw this guy with some great reviews, and it turns out it was Bob Olson's website. I didn't realize until I was actually writing the book. When I went back to review the website, I go, huh. And, you know, that's one of these series of coincidences, right? The coincidences, yeah, to me, is just God showing off, you know? So this Andrew, I looked up a guy, and his name was Andrew Anderson, and he was in, you know, the Western suburbs, about 40 minutes from my house. And I thought, this would work. So I made an appointment. He had my first name. And before going, I did two things. I had ordered some, Shamrock seeds from Amazon, and they had showed up the night before. And I had stopped and went to my dresser and pulled out a leather bracelet that Chris had given me. When he was 5 or 6, we were in Disney World, and his mom bought it, and he gave it to me. It said Dad on it. It had Goofy on the clasp, which was, you know, probably pretty appropriate, you know, and I put that on under my cuff, you know, now I had, you didn't probably read about this in the second book, but in the first book I read about that we buried him January 8th of 2016 in a grave, a cemetery maybe 2 miles from my house, which is a phenomenal place. But anyway, I had bought 3 plots, and his godfather bought 3 other ones. So we had this whole row. And the woman said, where do you want him buried? You know, and the snow was covering the ground, and it was icy cold. And I said, that little tree is kind of nice. How about next? Well, she didn't tell me that he was buried right next to another couple right there. You know, a lovely couple, I'm told. So when the snow melted, it looked like he was their kid. You know, and that just wasn't going to do, you know, that wasn't. You know, so I raised a little hell, threw a few things around and got my way. And, you know, for half price, they moved him over 1 plot, and I'm going to occupy the plot he was in. I don't want anybody else near it, but it's so perfect for me, you know, because I go there all the time, and it's just as I want it. And, so the dirt was loose around his grave. So on the way to Andrew's appointment, I stopped at the grave, as I oftentimes do, and I'll talk a little more about that. And I spread around the shamrock seeds in the loose soil, so that, and to this day, shamrocks come through. And I was pretty content with my work, and went off to see Andrew. And we came in, and he said, it was a big, you know, poster full of Chinese lanterns going up, which we launched on for Chris on his first anniversary, and I continue to do that. And he said, you know, your son's here. And he said, man, he's beautiful. He looks like Brad Pitt. He said, your son's acknowledging that some event happened because your family on the other side was together the night before. And this is June 30th, 2016, so 6 months after he transitioned. And June 29th was Sally and my wedding anniversary. And I said, okay, that was it. And then he said, you know, Chris acknowledges that you're wearing the bracelet he gave you. And Chris is telling me that you planted something recently at his grave. What did you plant? And that morning, of course, I planted the shamrock seeds. That was the moment, Stephanie, that it went for me from believing to knowing, you know, and that was in the first 10 minutes, you know. Andrew and I stay friends to this day. You know, I attend spirit circles occasionally, and he's a big fan, and I'm a big fan of his gifts, which are outstanding. But then I knew that. So that was the next step. I knew that Chris was somewhere and he was connecting. He could communicate. And, you know, I started taking, and I record all the medium sessions, and I encourage people to reach out, to do a little homework, make sure, and like I think a baseball coach or a golf pro, a lot of it has to do with your connection with the medium, and then the medium's connection with your child or your loved one. And I guess Andrew's connection with Chris was pretty good, because, you know, Chris comes through immediately. Andrew will call me sometimes out of nowhere and say, you know, your son's here, you know. Chris sent him a poem to send me, and my buddy and I wrote a He's a musician. He's brilliant. We wrote a song together, written a number of music together. And one was I'll Send You Feathers, based on a poem. Now, can you imagine, you know, your son drafting a poem, sending it to a medium. The medium was, by the way, on a treadmill, and said, Chris, can you come back later? And Chris said, no, we'll do it now. You know, so he called his daughter while on the treadmill and said, hey, will you write down this poem from the spirit? The daughter just shook her head and did as she was asked, you know. So they connect really well. So, you know, that was the start of aggressively seeking, you know, all the medium sessions. And I kept all of them in notes according to dates. And the next level was literally on the anniversary of his crossing, January 3, 2017. So 6 months again after my first medium visit, I was in my office, and as I do often, this is my home office, but this was also his bedroom when he was a kid. So his energy is really good here. It's a thin place. And I was sitting in there, and I was doing all the things that I do, align my chakras and do a guided meditation and sage and candles and a picture of him. And you know, there's a whole list of things I do that I picked up along the way. And believe me, started with no idea what to do. And I listened to a guided meditation. In the middle of it, I started getting feedback from him, talking about what it's like on the other side, talking about, you know, how this is going to go, what I should do. And one of the things, at first I'm pretty shocked, like, I'm not a medium. How am I getting this? And am I losing my friggin' mind, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I knew it wasn't me is that he told me in that first reading, he said, Dad, you got to let go of the resentment with Scotty. I loved him. He was a good friend. He's just being him. Scotty's the kid whose family owned the lake house. Mm-hmm. And I had to be mad at somebody, and God, you know, God let me know it wasn't his fault. So I wanted to blame this kid and his family. And he was telling me, you know, Dad, you got to let go of it. So I said, of course, Chris, for you, I'll let go of anything. No worries. Besides, when will I see this kid again, right? I'm not going to see him again. 12 hours later, I get a text from his buddy. Sally and I were going to meet at the grave at sundown and launch a Chinese lantern and be there. And they said, Mr. McHugh, who's his college pal, said, can you swing by the grave? There's a couple of us here to honor Chris. When I showed up, there was 24, 30 kids. You know, the parking lot was full. And one of the first kids I saw was Scotty, you know. So, and I was able to embrace him and say, dude, you know, Chris loved you. It wasn't your fault. You know, it just happened. Could have been here. Could have been anywhere. But Chris was so loving that he was preparing me for that, you know, and that continued, you know, his coming to me, which I take down in copious notes, which is a good term from a blue collar kid from Buffalo, New York, and file in it according to date. And I assume that I would be reading those and reviewing them when I'm sitting on a rocking chair someday with a cigar. And that wasn't the case. You know, he wanted me to help others, you know, and so it turns out the terms of the contract was I'm going to continue to connect with him and get all this insight and wonderful knowledge, but I got to give it away to keep it, you know, which involved me running down to the city of the office and coming out here to make sure I'm on time with you, because this is the path he's chosen for me. And you got to understand that I have this amazing gift, but I would chuck it all, you know, for one Thursday night football and a pizza with my kid in the flesh. But you can't unring that bell. That happened. So what are you going to do now? Right? What are you going to do now? And my thing is trying to help others, a little comfort and a little knowledge, specifically if you lost a kid.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about this when we come back from our commercial break. I have with me Joe McQuillan, and we are talking about his incredible experience with his son who has passed. And we're going to be talking more about his new book, We're Not Done Yet, Pop. And just thank you so much for sharing all of this. This is just an incredible story. And I think it's just so important for people to hear.
So do I. So do I.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to move? Join me, Jenny C. Cohen, on my show, Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement, and learn how movement through dance can heal you. I am an award-winning performer, mother of two, comedian, and creator of Dance to Heal Wellness. Tune in every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more or work with me, visit JennyCCohen.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James, and I'm here with Joe McQuillan. And Joe's been sharing the painful and powerful story of losing his 21-year-old son in 2016, and really the aftermath of miracles that have happened since then. And, you know, Joe, when you first came on the screen, one of the things that I thought was, you know, so great that struck me is you said, yeah, I probably don't look like a guy who'd light a candle and light some sage. And I imagine, you know, having this kind of, some people might call it like a spiritual awakening, that this wasn't your experience before the death of Christ.
No, it wasn't my path either, you know. And it's funny, you know, we're going to Richmond for a wedding in December, the whole family, my nephew who was, my twin boys were my older brother Jerry's grandchildren. So my nephew Michael, who's 5 or 6 years younger than I am, just kids, and they were very close. We go to Canada for a family reunion. Grew up in Buffalo, so we all rent beach houses in the same, community. And so when we'd get there, and we did that for 10, 12, we still do it. You know, COVID stocked it out for 2 years. We're going back in August. But, you know, we barely pull our car in the driveway and Chris would jump out and join those boys. And they didn't break rank for the full week. You know, they were together. So we're going to this wedding and I love these kids. They come in for the golf outing every year. You know, they've got jobs and fiancés and their dad's been at every single one, Michael. And you know, we're going to this wedding. So I'm looking up Richmond, you know, the hotel where we stay and kind of get a limo from the airport. I'm online looking where I'm going to go for 2 or 3 days, right? With the family. I'm checking it out. Yet we're all going to the other side, you know, and rarely, unless we go head to head with an event like this, do we wonder what's next? What is it like? Where are we going? How do I, you know, can I get upgraded to a first grade, you know, first class seat, you know? So it is, you know, so that's, and I implore your listeners, you know, to try to figure out what's next, you know, because none of us are getting out alive. None of us, you know.
Well, and what do you feel like have been some of your lessons that Chris has taught you?
You know what? Henry James says there are three things in life that are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And third is to be kind. Mm-hmm. That's a lesson. You know, somebody needs something, stop and help them. You know, somebody's hurt. Take a minute, man. Whatever you're doing, you can get back to it. You know, and there's no luggage racks on hearses. You can't take it with you. You know, so try to remember what's important. And kindness is it. You know, I've done a kindness and service. You know, I've done a bunch of research about what's next. There's a great series of a film series by a brilliant filmmaker called Craig McMahon. And it's called Life to Afterlife. And I stumbled on one a couple years ago. So I stalked him, you know, and he didn't have time. So I sent him pizza from his hometown so to get his attention. And then a couple years later, my youngest was working out at spring training. in Arizona, and he and I had coffee, and we become pals. We become good friends. And he's got these films. As a matter of fact, after the golf outing this year, I flew out the next day, and you know, he asked if I would be a subject of the his current film that he's making, Chris and I. And you know, and it was a lot. I just finished the golf outing. I had a bunch of work catching up, and the answer was yes. You know, 6 o'clock flights, I don't care. You know, I'm in. So the bottom line is, I think we got to figure out what's important. And what's important is love and family, you know, friends, help, support. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a different guy than I was January 3rd, 2016. You know, yeah. there's a great quote from Haruki Murakami that says, once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through to survive. You won't even be sure, in fact, whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what storms are all about, you know? And what a waste if Christopher crossed over and I didn't embrace that, you know? And his friends, we were just at a wedding for his best friend, this gal, Michelle Park, who's just a sweetheart at school. And all the kids are there, all those college kids, they all come to the celebration of his grave every year, which is 40 people on January 3rd, freezing cold. You know, last year during COVID, we always have a celebration out to the house. You know, I put tents up and heated, you know, and we did it outside, you know, and I do a golf outing, they all attend. These kids are part of my life now. And that's a gift. But you know what? You got to put it in. You got to invest in that, those relationships. And that's a lot more important than your 401k, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah. So powerful. You know, what do you feel like, I guess maybe it would be helpful to even visit about how has the relationship evolved since the time you really first connected with him?
You know, it's evolved. He's evolved. And I'll tell you, and that kind of stuff scared me. So I was worried about, well, you know, if he evolves, are we going to be able to connect? And he's come through and said to me, Pop, and he calls me. And it was funny, Nancy, the first phone, maybe the second phone meeting I had with her, she said, he's calling you something. It's not Dad, is it? Pip or Pap? I said, no, it's Pop. He called me Pop, you know. Ergo, we're not done yet, Pop. And you know, this is the kind of kid. He was a funny kid, good athlete, tough kid, party boy, sweetheart. You know, but he was kind. And when my niece transitioned a few years before, she had a brain hemorrhage and left two adopted kids and a beautiful husband. And we were getting ready to go come home after the funeral. And he said, Dad, I'm staying. I said, what do you mean you're staying? He said, Dad, you know, Bill's got to get back to work to support the boys. Everybody else has a job. I can take a leave of absence. I can stay and help with the kids until they can arrange childcare or whatever. I said, Chris, that's a heck of a responsibility. And he said, Dad, that's what family does. You know, I mean, he schooled his old man. I'm the guy always saying family, and I'm getting lessons, and I still am to this day. You know, stories about him stopping and helping people who stranded or pulled over on a desolate road, you know. Well, you know, I used to look at that and say, what a shame, and make sure I was there for my tea time, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I don't, you know, but it's his lessons. I live my life for two tenets, to please my God and to make my son proud. Now, if I live that way, I can't go wrong, you know. You know, who you helping? Who you helping is the question. And so I think my path, because Chris tells me it is to help parents who've lost kids who think it's over. You know, it's not. You know, Susan Giesman wrote a beautiful book called Still Right Here. Mm-hmm. And I steal that, and we're friends, so she knows it. I steal it when I'm inscribing my book. Often I'll put, your kids are still right here. But you got to do your end of the job too. It doesn't just evolve. You've got to make it work. You got to care enough. You got to want to, you know. You know, I will tell you a story, unless we're up against a break here. I went to Florida to be with my sister prior to her transitioning, and he adored her and she adored him. She was a big source of love for me. And she transitioned February 6, 2019. And he was there, as he promised me. So I was there, and I went down to a beach at night where we connect. You know, beaches in Florida, for some reason, especially on the Gulf Coast, Chris and I just connect. And I was in Naples, and I got a message that said, go to Sarasota. It's like, I have a 7 o'clock flight in the morning. It's a 2-hour trip, 4 hours round trip. I said, all right, wait a minute. I'm going to check, and I'm going to go to the rental car, check my phone. And if the beach is open, I'll do it. Well, dang, if the website didn't say Siesta Keys open 24 hours. I was like, okay. So I grabbed a handful of cigars, a couple of Red Bulls, and headed up there. And I just laid on the beach and looked at the stars, and I felt my boy all around me. You know, see, you got to follow breadcrumbs and you got to put in the effort. And I'm sure I laughed about it, that he's just nudging a buddy up on the other side saying, see, I told you the old man would show up. And I tell parents all the time, would you travel 4 hours round trip to spend a half hour with your kid? You're damn right you would, you know. So do it on this side too. You just got to listen, you know. Sometimes you just got to listen.
And when you're doing that, Joe, I'm curious, how do you, I mean, are you in a meditative state? How do you get in the place where you can hear Chris, or does he just come in?
Well, no, I know when he's around. I get a chill in the back of my neck like I just got, right? You see me scratching my neck. I just got a chill. That means he's around me. But I'm going to tell you, this is all my experience, strength, and hope. You know, I'm not an expert. And if you read the second book, my kid kept telling me, hey, Dad, you're no expert. You know, I'm about ankle deep in this stuff and I'm trying to figure it out. But I do the sage, do the candles, do that, do the meditation, breathe in, hold it for 7 seconds, exhale, say his name. Right. These are things I picked up from Wayne Dyer to, you know, everybody, you know, who talks about it. There's experts out there and I glean what I can from them. And I feel him there. And then I start getting downloads. Now, it's funny. I've only recently started actually seeing him twice in meditation, but I hear him. I smell him. You know, I can smell that teen, you know, smell. You know, smells like sweat socks for criminals, you know, but it's him. And I know it, you know, and then I start getting downloads from him, you know, and, you know, he told me, here's a wonderful one. When Marcia did transition, he said, Dad, when Marcia transitioned, the minute she stepped across, I was there. So was Jerry, Billy, Bobby. I mean, her siblings, right? They were all there. Pat. He said, and then she had to go away some for a while, like a spa. And when she came back, she was younger than even when I was a kid. Now, once again, I never thought about this. She died of cancer. Now, the cancer died with her body, but the trauma crossed with her. So she had to go somewhere. And what a loving term, like a spa, right? What woman doesn't smile when you hear like a spa? Where they had to help with that, whoever they are. Yeah. And then she came back and joined the McQuillan Soul family, right? Sign me up, Steph. That's not a bad deal. Okay. You know, you know what my sister told me? The source of amazing love and support, even when I didn't deserve it, right? My youth, I was a little wild. A couple of days before she transitioned, she said, honey, I read your book and I'm not afraid to die. Hmm. I mean, to be able to give somebody that after they've given you so much. A year later, I was with a medium out in the Western suburbs on my birthday, January 9th. And she said, your sister's here with your son. And this woman didn't know me and didn't read the book. And she said, and she's saying, honey, thanks for the greatest gift. You know, happy birthday, Dad. You know.
Wow. So I have chills now.
Yeah. It'll do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the things that you're talking about, I mean, they're pretty unmistakable. I mean, they're right. Things that aren't just coincidence.
Right.
And so for someone that, you know, possibly was a skeptic at one point, it sounds like you've had enough things come through that you're just like, there's no way.
I ask for signs. I'll say, hey, buddy, I sure could use some because I wish I could tell you. I'm always, you know, I live the life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I married a woman of my dreams. She's a therapist. She's about to publish her first book on raising a child and losing him. And she's brilliant. And, you know, my goose was cooked the first minute I saw her, you know, and never looked back. You know, I have two wonderful kids. I've been pretty successful, right? You know, I've lived a life beyond my wildest dreams, but there was a movie called Manchester by the Sea where a woman lost three kids in a fire and said, my heart was broken. It'll always be broken. Right. So I've got this amazing life. I've got great supportive friends, you know, golf, hangout. You know, I'm spending 2 months in Florida for the second year in a row. And it really was where this book came together, in Marcia's house. You know, I rent that house from her kids, who I just adore. And I've got it, you know, beyond my wildest dream, but I'm always going to have this piece of my heart that won't be together until I cross. And I'll tell you, anybody wants to feel sorry for me, don't. You know, I got to be his dad for 21 years on this side, and we're still father and son. And when I cross, we'll get to pick it up just where we left off, you know? So, you know, if God tapped me on the shoulder and said, now I got work to do, I got books to write, I got people to talk to, I got kids to finish raising, you know, I got a lot to do. But when he taps me on the shoulder and says, pal, time to go, I'm in. I'm not afraid of death. I get to be with Chris and Marcia and Jerry and Billy and, man, in a circle. We'll get that circle closed a little bit then, you know?
So amazing. I can't wait to talk with you more about this. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Joe McQuillan and his amazing book, We're Not Done Yet, Pop. It's My Lessons from the Other Side. So join us after this break.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, 1-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is a show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James, and we're talking with Joe McQuillan. And he's been sharing with us just truly, we were just saying that the word used most often, you know, in his book was amazing in his first book. And this story truly is amazing. And I know that, you know, in 33 years of being a psychotherapist and transformational life coach, I know that I've worked with so many people that have talked about these kind of experiences.
Yeah.
You know, so enough to know that there really is something to this. This isn't just
something,
you know, like
it.
A grieving dad's hallucinations or something. And, you know, I can just tell from your type of personality, you know, you're not the kind of guy who people would call woo woo.
No,
you know, by any means.
And, you know, Chris talks about that a lot, specifically in the second book. He'd say, you know, you're a great ambassador, Dad. You know, people will hear things from you that they may not be able to hear from somebody else. You know, that's why you got to do it. You got to give dads permission to grieve. Women, you guys are better at it, right? You guys are better at sharing emotions and caring. And guys think they got to suck it up, buttercup, right? And what I talk about a lot in the second book is, man, you know, I am not exactly a candy ass. You know, I'm not a shrinking violet. But when it's time to cry, I'm going to go cry, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and I'm not going to do it in a group. And, you know, I do tend to get a little emotional, as the Irish do. But it's okay, because you've got to let that tsunami hit and then roll back out and then honor that person that you're missing. You know, that's part of life. I don't, you know, somebody once said to me, a healer, I think, do you want to let go of this? I said, no, get away from me. No, I don't want to let go of this. This is a part of my life. You know, it's, I have the same connection with Chris that I have with my other kids, but mine's just across the veil, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the thin places, I talk a lot in the second book about thin places. I think I stole that term. It's an Irish term, actually. And it's funny, because I think it was, you know, who was it that said the Irish are the only race that's impervious to psychotherapy? I think, you know, and it could be, you know, but, you know, I do allow myself to emote. And, you know, if anybody does, it doesn't fit your character of who I am. I don't care. Your opinion of me is none of my business. You know, I got a new employer now. You know, I serve a different calling, and what I'm supposed to do is help other people. And, you know, you got to give it away to keep it. My fear is, if I start hoarding this, maybe it slows down. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And you asked about Chris Levels. One of my favorite things he said to me, he said, Dad, I'm going to another level. Have a cigar today, you know, celebrate. He said, but don't worry. It's like me calling you long distance from Tucson or LA. It's the same reception. We're always going to have that until I meet you, when you transitioning, when you cross. And those are the kind of things he tells me. You know, he told me one of the things I loved. He told me that, you know, that when I cross over, he said, it'll be like crossing a stream. You have to cross it by yourself. But the minute you take a step over, I'll be there. Well, wow. How wonderful is that? Right. Now, I didn't know that you know, they can't help you cross. You know, you got to take that step. It's your deal. You know, those are the kind of downloads that he sends me, that he wants me to share with your audience and anybody who's reading the book.
Well, and two, the part about, you know, Joe, it's so powerful to share with people, especially the male population,
yeah.
You know, what you were just sharing about being able to cry and being able to emote. And you know what, I, as a therapist, work with a lot of males, and I think it's one of the, you know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, you're weak if you cry, but it takes a lot of courage to be with those emotions. It takes a lot of courage to feel them.
You know, a friend of my Chris's godfather, I was having coffee one time at his house, and she swung by and she talked about my background, and she said, you know, there's an unassailable self-confidence that comes from a childhood insulated with love. I was loved. You know, I wasn't, they didn't condone some of my behavior, but I was loved, you know, and Chris was loved. And that gives you a confidence that said, you know, if this isn't for you, you know, go watch talk radio. You know, I get it. It's okay. But I don't care. You know, I was raised in an Irish Catholic family with 10 kids, dogs, bicycles, football games broke out. Neighbors hated us. You know, we had moved to the suburbs, and they hated. They're out there cleaning their lawns with scissors, and we're diving over their fence to catch a pass, you know. And so I grew up and said, what's matter is your family, right? Your friends and your family. And my family expanded a lot to these kids that loved Chris, parents who've lost, you know, helping parents heal, parents who've lost kids. That's who I care about. If somebody else, this isn't for them, good enough. You know, go read a Jack Reacher novel. It's good too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it does resonate for so many people, and it gives them hope.
Well, that's the deal. You know, it's, if I can bring some comfort and hope, and I stumbled, you know, the books are both on Audible. I'm sorry, the second one's doing Audible now, but they're both on Amazon. And I read the reviews from the first book, you know, a couple hundred reviews, and I was awed, and I literally I was humbled. People talk about, thank you. You know, you gave me hope. You know I can reach my child. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do more. You brought me comfort, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that and looking back at a picture of Chris and saying, we did our job, kid. You know, if we don't sell another book, we've done our job. You know, we've carried the water, man. And that's sometimes all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're still doing the good work. And you know, I was reading through your publicist's notes and there's another book as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The first book is My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. And that came out in 18. And this is, we're not done yet, Pop. And where that came from is when I was finishing the first book, I was like, kind of maudlin, like, wow, this connection is great. And it's kind of like after the big golf outing we have, it's huge golf outing, just best golf outing in the history of golf outing. Just so much fun. And guys and women I love and selling it out. And it sells out literally, foursomes are filled out, within the first 4 hours after I sent out the invites, you know, and it's just so much love and wonderful stuff. And when it's over, I have a little bit of a hangover, you know, I don't drink, you know, I mean, emotional hangover. So I was really worried about finishing the end of this book, the first book. And he said, you know, don't worry, we're not done yet, Pop. We're going to do this until you cross. So, you know, we're working on the third book now, you know, it gives me air to breathe, Stephanie. You know, it gives me air to breathe and it gives me a voice that can maybe heal a couple of broken hearts. You know, and the term that time heals all wounds, whoever made that up hadn't lost a kid because it never heals. We acquire tools, you know, to cope with it, to deal with it, but it never goes away. We're never whole again until we meet them again, you know.
Well, and I have to tell you, I resonate with this so deeply. I had this experience yesterday morning. I was going to meet a woman for coffee. She was going to interview me for her podcast. And I got to the coffee shop. And when I handed them my credit card, they said, oh, Stephanie James, the paramedics called. And this woman was in a car accident on the way here. And I think she's okay. She was able, I reached out to her and she was able to send me a message back that said, I can hardly write this, but I'm okay. And so I have a phone call planned with her this afternoon. So I know she's still living, but obviously was with the paramedics. And Joe, I told you, I'll tell you, I came home and just thinking about my own two daughters, I have a 24-year-old and a 33-year-old and how quick that can happen.
Yeah.
And you know, it just, I just sobbed. And I just thought, wow, what a precious gift we have in our children, period. And the importance of really being in that place of being present and having gratitude and really being attuned. You know, it sounds like for you, you're able to do that on this side and still with Chris.
Yeah. You know, and once again, kids have always been monstrously, you know, priority in my life. But I think there's a different reality about what that means. Like, I my judgment factor is substantially lower, and my compassion factor is substantially higher. And you know, they had to go through their own grief, as did my wife. We grieve totally different. You know, Sally and William. Sally, you know, William literally shut down. He's a phenomenal kid, and he was a all-state lacrosse player for True Lacrosse on their all-star team and colleges. And he just withdrew, you know, and his big brother, his hero, was taken from him. You know, Chris had a McQuillan crest on his bicep and his forearm and his bicep. And when he, when not long after Christopher transitioned, William went and rooted through my stuff and got Christopher's driver's license, because in Illinois, you got to be 18 to get a tattoo. And at 16, went got the same crest. And I know I should have been mad, you know, but I wasn't, you know. And to say, all I want them to do is to be happy. And this is short, man. I'm rounding third, right? I'm turning 65. Now, I got a few years left on me, but I'm rounding third, right? And my understanding of what's important is so much different than when I was 30. when I was supposed to be, you know, a rising star in whatever I was doing. And now I just laugh at it, you know, and that's not what matters. But, you know, give me a little time with a parent who's heartbroken and maybe bring a smile or some warmth to their heart. And now I know that's what success is, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, chills again, because that's exactly it. You know, I always call that my truth meter, Joe, because,
yeah,
you know, that's just it. It's how we share it, how we share the gifts, the wisdom, the knowledge, our experiences, and this special gift with Chris. What is, you know, as we're getting closer to the end.
Yeah. I enjoyed this. This was great, Pat.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this has been awesome. And I'm curious, you know, what has been the last transmission? I'll start with that question and have one more for you.
Well, the last transmission from Chris? Well, it's funny. I just had I had taken it with me when I went out to Andrews, and it was a message from Chris, and he was telling me about my brother, Jerry, and he was saying, I am now more involved with his grandkids and who are, you know, and you know, his children were pretty close, and how pleased Jerry was with that, and how I need to step up for him, right? And I went out to see Andrew Anderson. He was having a spirit circle, and I thought, you know, and I could tell when it's important to him. I don't love spirit circles, you know. I like one-on-one, and you know, but I went, and he said, good, there's this guy John that came in from Nebraska. The guy's son, he lost his son, you know, 8-9 months ago in a car crash, 21 years old. And he was there because he had read my book. And I didn't know that he was, but that was why I was there. There was a woman next to me who had lost her husband recently. And because of my book, they were talking about thin places. And she had said, you know, her one thin place is maybe her husband and she had been to Ireland before and loved the moment when they were at the Cliffs of Moher. And then we all did this guided this meditation. And during meditation, Christopher wrote in the notes, came through and said, usually it's for you, but this is for them. He said, you know, he said, tell John Max is here. I mean, right here, which was his son. And he said, and tell Mary to go to Ireland. And then he wrote words of a song that said, where the ocean kisses Ireland. And it's a song I hadn't thought of in 25 years by a band called the Saw Doctors. And it was basically, it talked about the west coast of Ireland. And I said, Christopher sent a message, said, go to Ireland, and where the ice ocean kisses Ireland, you should listen to the song on the way home. And she said, I'm going home, making plane reservations. I've been wondering where I'm supposed to put my husband's ashes. I'm flying to Ireland, and I'm going to drop him off the Cliffs of Moher. You know, that came from Chris, right? And what do you start off saying? Usually these are for you, but this time it's not. It's for them. You know, dude, I'm happy to be the vehicle. You know, let me shed the message. You know, it's not my message. It's his.
Yeah. Yeah. So powerful, Joe. Wow. So powerful. I guess... And for you, as we are wrapping up now, what is the essential message that you want to leave with the audience?
Still right here. You know, it's, man, there's nothing worse than losing a kid. You know, I'm the first one to tell you. And this isn't me putting a Band-Aid on this, trying to make it all Pollyanna, because my heart's always going to be broken, as nice as my life is. You know, but your kids are available to you. I was doing a reading for a group, or a session with a group. And a woman said, you know, my sister died 5 years ago and she hasn't come through. And I said, what'd you do? Where's your part? You know, you gotta suit up and show up, man. What are you doing to make that relationship? Remember the old days, we'd have cell phones and you'd go off a balcony or in somebody's off a deck to try to get reception. Same thing, you know, but you got to do your part. Get the books, do some, you know, and get my books. Yeah, you know, there's another one that I keep. It's like, what is it? It's idiot, Complete Idiot's Guide to Connecting with Spirit, right? There's books out there. Go to sessions. I'd go see somebody speak. I've seen Thomas John, Chris has come through. I've seen, John Holland. You know, I've seen some amazing people and Rebecca Rose and Chris came through every time. Right. But I'm doing my part. Right. And I'm only figuring this out almost 6 years going. I'm still figuring it out, but I want to know more. I'm hungry for more, and I want to keep connected to my kid. So if somebody's feeling like I lost my kid and I don't feel anything, do your part. Get off the couch and try to connect. You know, do a little work, do a little research. You know, if you can raise your level of consciousness and they can lower theirs, you can connect, right? But yeah, you got to do your part.
Yeah. And how can people get a hold of you?
You know what? Okay. So the book is on Amazon Prime, both of them. Get them. They're great starter books. They're really good. You know, and maybe as my spirituality advances, the books will mess, but they're great how-to books for people who've never, you know, haven't spent their life in spirituality. Yeah. My email address is jbmcquillen@gmail.com. McQuillen. You want to know something, you need a little, not guidance, because I'm not an expert. You want a little help. You want advice, whatever. Reach out. You want to tell me your story, and I'll send you my phone number, right? There's nothing in life more important than what I'm doing now, because it makes my kid proud.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful interview, and I just appreciate you being here so much. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Steph. Appreciate you spreading the message.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.